Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, in the first half, I have a big announcement, and we also get into Keygate and exploding wine bottles inside my car. First, I'll get into Geico. Do you own, do you rent your home? Well, sure. You do one or the other, right? Then there is your automotive policy. Geico suggests you bundle those two, put them together. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could be saving when you get your bundle working at Geico. That is geico.com. Visit geico.com today and get your bundle on at geico.com.
80% of Americans found something they can all agree on. America is falling apart. How did we get here and how do we get out of it? Newsflash, media plays a central role in both. Check out our new podcast, Media Roundtable. We'll talk to media moguls, top hosts on both sides of the aisle, and the people who pay for it all, the sponsors. Media Roundtable is not just a podcast. It's a movement to restore trust and civility to the national conversation, and we need you to be a part of it. Look for Media Roundtable wherever you get your shows and subscribe now.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, former Navy SEAL sniper and best-selling author, Jack Carr. With Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, he gets his peaches in Georgia and his wallet raped in California. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. A choice with you. A mandate. You get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you. Right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And Bald Brian.
Shit, yeah.
Well, we're going to start the show with some sad personal news.
Oh, no.
Lynette and I are getting divorced.
Oh, shit.
It's not something that I wanted to get or to do. I'm a product of divorce.
Yeah.
Lynette's a product of divorce. It's not the kind of thing. It's just, well, no one ever signs up to get divorced.
No.
I got your wedding invitation today.
Bittersweet.
I was driving in thinking, I got to talk about this. How do I talk about it? And then my phone lit up.
Sorry.
Gina said, we set a date. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for that.
Very sorry.
It's a zero-sum game.
We've been separated for a few months. It's hard. The kids come first. And they have. And they're doing well. Some say too well.
Yeah.
Like literally.
Thriving?
Benefiting.
Did not. I wanted a little devastation.
Right.
I did not get much devastation.
It's like, hey, what are you going to do?
Yeah, what are you going to do? It's been a difficult time.
Yeah.
Sorry to hear that. I very much didn't know this.
That stinks.
We've been together for 25 years.
Jesus.
We're very different human beings.
Mm-hmm.
We have different sets of philosophies, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish, you know, it's not an event, it's not somebody was cheating,
right.
It's not, you know, chronic gambling or COVID. It's really just two people that were just that different and just had completely different processes and approaches to life. And just couldn't get it, couldn't meet in the middle somewhere.
Ugh.
And it's hard. I mean, it's a weird thing. Everyone gets divorced, or a lot of people get divorced. No one around here really has gotten divorced, but
no.
Everyone else seems to get divorced.
Well, didn't Andrew, who was the one who would need it? He got divorced and moved back home?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So you got that going for you, buddy.
I should send him a text.
And I feel like, and if I'm wrong, I'm going to be really sad, the vast majority of us' parents are divorced.
Yeah, and so it's weird because everyone's parents are divorced, and every time you turn on the news, Bill Gates is getting divorced, or someone's getting divorced, but just never was in my cards. Like, I didn't have as an option.
Right.
My thing was like, whatever isn't working, we'll make it work. And, but ultimately, if you can't make it work, then it's probably – right. you know, for the good. So I'm in a pretty good place.
Yeah, it sounds like it's been a long time coming, at least
it has been.
From what we said.
Yeah, I was not, you know, it was tough initially, but I'm in a pretty good place now. And, you know, I'm sort of getting on with it and enjoying my life. But, you know, I wanted to, oh yeah, there are no shows in Wisconsin. I'm going to spread my wings.
Yep.
But it was tough, and I wanted to let the audience know what was going on, but I didn't want to jump the gun, and I wanted to sort of make sure that, you know, the kids and the ducks were in line,
this
in
is a
row.
A very, very big life event that you don't just want to sort of half-ass it.
Yeah, but it is now official, or it's getting filed, so
right.
it shall be. Yes.
How is your relationship amicable right now? Or
yeah.
Tough? Or
yeah.
Both?
It's okay. I mean, we worked out a schedule
right.
and everyone is sort of keeping up with it. And, you know, it sucks and, you know, back and forth. And so
who's going to solve this Paul Newman cars in
nesting now. Yeah.
Oh, man.
So, you know, you stay at the house. The kids don't leave the house. It's much better. Like when my dad got divorced, my parents got divorced. My dad just moved out and crashed on the sofa.
Right.
My grandparents'
footage,
house. Oh, yeah. So you can do, if you do it, if you got some money, essentially, and you can do the nesting thing,
that's
and the
incredible.
Kids don't have to move into an apartment and all that kind of
the
stuff.
The grads didn't know that was an option in our time.
I know. Look, people always talk about divorce. Like, divorce, it destroys the kids. Or it's mm-hmm. so tough on the kids. You can do it in a way, if you want to throw some money at it, where the kids are not really affected, not nearly to the degree
right,
that
sure.
we all were, because first things first, sometimes folks moved to Indiana
yeah.
and you got to
mm-hmm.
go to a new school
yeah.
and
or you
all
only
that
see
stuff.
Them in the summer or whatever.
Yeah, so it's all sort of been about the kids, keeping everything sort of neutral. And let's be honest, Olga helps a lot because she's a constant.
You mean mom?
And she's there. So she's not going in
right.
and out and back yeah. and forth and everything. But I wanted to share that with everyone. I was really kind of embarrassed, honestly. Like my number one kind of feeling is sort of shame, embarrassment. Like I just felt like, oh, I'm
what?
Now going to. I think divorce feels like a failure. And I think
you couldn't
I
go
think
the distance
you,
in this
in a sense.
Now you are going to join the ranks of my stupid parents and your stupid parents.
A lot of stupid
and
parents.
Max Zapata's stupid parents and Dawson's
no,
parents are together.
They're,
right?
they're good.
Yeah, that's what makes them stupid.
So, you know, it is never a good time to talk about it, but now's the time. This had to come clean. And,
I'm putting two and two together. Imagine Malibu was a fallout of this situation.
Well, Malibu was actually started as Natalia saying, can we go hang out in Malibu like for a rental, you know, during the summer and that kind
and
of
you
stuff.
You said, I'll do you one better.
Yeah.
Don't
get
one up.
There's your room. So it interestingly enough, did not the origins of Malibu weren't we're getting separated. We need a place. I need a place to live. But it morphed into that.
Reverse engineering.
Yeah. Which is, and I'm out there 3 days a week or 4 days a week or kind of switch off. Get in the ocean every day I'm out there.
Wow.
It's cold today. Mm-hmm. And just getting on with it.
Feel free to just
go ahead.
Give me a little slap across the face. But I, no, that was it.
You're not married yet.
You do enough damage with your email this morning.
Thank you.
I literally
haven't
had,
you learned your lesson?
I was driving in. And I was thinking, okay, what do I want to say? How do I say this? Well, guess who's getting married? We've got a date.
Well, you know it won't last. Just kidding.
I pray.
So when I was going through a breakup, not a marriage, but a pretty heavy breakup, my therapist at the time said, you know, I have counseled married couples before, and it comes to a point where at one point I've said, I can't help you stay together, but I can absolutely help you break up mm-hmm. in a way that will cause the least amount of fallout. Has that been something to consider in a counseling way? Or
yeah, we brought, you know, when we told the kids, we brought them in to counseling and we just did it in that environment because we just thought it'd be a better environment. And yeah, I'd say that's it. Generally true. It hasn't, I mean, ultimately, it's better, my life's better, and I'm fine with it. But it's still not something, you know, it's not really a logical thought. It's like, I don't want this thing to happen, but I'm better off if it does happen. So for me, I'm sort of philosophical.
That makes sense. Know. And you're a person who, in general, is also very much in control of your life and the things happening in your life. Mm-hmm. So this must be one of those moments where everything just feels a little uncomfortable because it doesn't feel like it's in your control.
Yeah, I'd say that. I've done a pretty good job of just sort of creating an environment where I get to be in charge of the environment.
Right.
And work's been that way. You know, I mean, you still have to work, but you sort of do it on your own terms.
Right.
You know, basically, kind of my life. Well, as Tucker Carlson mentioned, he came in here and said, I see you working amongst your cars and the people you want to work with and working in your own place. And he went and did that in his place. So, I do like that. And then this isn't something you're in control of.
Right.
So it's not comfortable, but... And it's also, it's like every part of life, which is the worst. It's the worst when it is the worst, like living somewhere else,
right.
You know, just sleeping in some place that is barely furnished,
right.
You know, just where the TV doesn't work, mm-hmm. You know, and you're just sort of sitting around sort of with your own thoughts,
yeah.
You know, like it, you know, now, you know, Malibu's comfortable. Mm-hmm. I got my stuff in there. Mm-hmm. It takes you a while to like dial in your space.
Of course. Oh God, how do you move a movie theater?
I haven't dialed in a space.
Well, Sunny Heights.
I burnt that shit to the ground. That's the first thing I did was get drunk and fucking light a flare, threw it in there, taped to some gas cans.
Sure.
But yeah, so now it's kind of now it's like, yeah, I like staying at home. I like seeing the kids. I like going to Malibu. The kids will come stay with me in Malibu. So it's like, it's evened out.
You've certainly figured out, as always, figured out what sounds like the best way to navigate something very, that seems unnavigatable.
Yeah, I think that's what we're doing.
The mind floods with questions and ideas. First of all, Chris, remember that idea I pitched to you where Adam said our exes have to write our profiles for dating?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's going to write your profile for dating.
Oh,
well, we're
going
to have a bit on this. Number two, feel free not to answer. This is a personal question, mm-hmm. but I'm thinking of things that I'm going to get, we are going to get tweeted tomorrow. Like, what about this? What financially, what's going to happen with assets? I mean, we have an empire here. You know, you have Corolla Drinks, you have cars.
Yeah, yeah.
Chess Media.
Well, so nothing about me working my ass off all the time is going to change. That shall remain.
Even more incentive to live the life your wife and kids are leading.
We're just using a mediator. It's not everyone's lawyered up and all that. So, you know, we'll figure it out.
Garagos is probably like, use a mediator. Trust me.
Oh, yeah. No, Garagos recommended a mediator.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that'll...
Those dudes that are fighting each other, quote unquote, best friends, and you two are the enemy.
It's always...
Lynette, if you're listening, you don't want to get screwed on this.
I've always heard it's a nightmare.
Yeah,
so we'll
great.
Try to figure it out via the mediator. But and we shall see. Hopefully,
and
we'll keep some of those new cars.
Will Lynette still be doing Corolla Drink stuff?
Yeah, she's going to run that business. I'm going to do what I'm doing. She's going to do what she's doing. There's not going to be any interruption of anything.
Right.
I think everything's going to be basically the same. Just
Corolla Singles Cruise
married.
In December.
That's right, baby. All right. So now Gina's getting married. So tell us all about it.
Oh, it's all about your impending nuptials.
Well, I really hope you guys are there. It's going to be a lot of fun. I don't know. We're getting married in a fucking blueberry patch.
Let's cut to the bridesmaids.
They're very good. They're good looking.
What
crew.
They're wearing.
Yeah.
Wait.
Well, oh,
This one is an atom.
Oh, wait. You got a big problem. Good news and bad news. They're all smoking hot. The bad news is they made the list one year of chicks that would be disgusted to sleep with you. Remember?
Oh.
Gina's friends, but collectively.
You had one friend who thought Adam was sexy.
Yeah, but she's fairly happily married.
God
has a couple
damn it.
Of kids.
Yeah. All right.
But,
well,
you know,
I'll be
she's
there.
Kind of a wild child, so you
mm-hmm.
never know.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's going to be some tail at that wedding.
Mm-hmm. All right. Noted. Tail no and taffeta, that. My
no
two
show
favorite,
that day.
My favorite morning show.
Yeah. Well, you seem like you're doing well in the sense that this is pretty
well,
surprising
I've,
to us.
I've obviously been privy to this information for a number of months, so I'm fine.
Do you Good. Think... Yeah. Not COVID itself, but like the lockdown, the everyone on top of each other, like you say, you know, you obviously have square footage, but everyone's at home with the kids. Did that exacerbate things?
It was probably harder for me and Natalia than it was with Lynette.
Oh.
Natalia was much more
yeah, but just that aggravation
whipped
in the
up.
House, though, right?
Yeah, I would, you know, you could chalk it up to things like COVID, except for this, we were kind of heading down this path, you know, pre-COVID.
Right.
So it's been a long time in the making. And, you know, maybe actually it's probably, or it should be, a good thing. So ultimately,
right.
But, and also part of it is nobody wants to walk around kind of nursing a secret, you know? So yeah, it's like
totally.
Shit comes up where they go like, hey, we're going to invite you out. Your wife's right. coming, you know, and stuff. And then you have to go, well, no, yeah. she's not around. You know, it's kind of, you feel like you're harboring something,
yeah.
you know?
And it takes a lot of energy to keep that up when people are just asking questions.
I always say that about people who cheat or... And we talked about like pedophiles and stuff like that, like just walking around with this thing in your head
yeah.
of like, oh, every time the phone rings
yeah.
or that there's a text or something like that, what does this mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who's going? But yes.
No, as it pertains to this situation, your situation, it's how I felt when I was first diagnosed 12 years ago. It's like, oh, I can keep this a secret and we can like be a family thing. But at a certain point, it's going to become very evident to everyone around. You know what I mean? Like that house of the dominoes are going to fall.
People are going to have questions about the walker.
Yes.
Precisely. Eventually.
Yeah, yes.
Getting a walker.
All right. So
well, we love you. We love Lynette. Yeah. I mean, Lynette is a wonderful, amazing person. And I'm sorry that you're going through this.
Yeah.
This
well,
thank you. Yeah.
Sorry.
Not my life plan. But, you know, when one door closes, another one opens, as
you know,
somebody once said.
You know what my therapist says?
Hmm.
When one door closes, another one opens. But the hallways are hell. So maybe you
That's
feel like
good.
You're in the hallway
Getting
right
from
now.
Yeah.
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 All right. So do not cry for me, Argentina. I'm fine. And again, as newsy as this may be to some, it's oldish to me.
Right.
So it's not like I'm, you know, found out this morning I was getting divorced. All right. I brought my phone in here, which I never do.
This is an odd day.
I know.
Can you download Tinder, Gina?
Jesus Christ. Maybe he wants a growler, bear. Bear.
What?
What's it called?
Is this gay stuff?
Yeah.
Grinder. Oh.
Growler.
Bear growler.
I got John Popper's text about the gun that shoots 18,000 yards per second.
Jesus fuck. Our guest today was a sniper. He probably knows a little about that.
Yes. So just so you know that John Popper's insane, this text randomly showed up. So anyway, we hadn't corresponded in about a month. Anyway, said, hey man, it took me until just now to ask myself, is there a gun that shoots 2,000 yards per second? That was the misinformation I gave about his gun because it shoots 2,000 feet per second. And it turns out there's a 20-millimeter cannon and a 30-millimeter cannon, or even a 50 caliber that does about 1,000 yards per second. So I cut to the chase, and the fastest projectile ever moved, larger than a speck of dust. He must have been high when he sent me this. Then he writes in parentheses, the hardened collider is fired projectile. See below. Then he sent an article from the New York Times. Using experimental gun about 60 feet long, scientists at the National Laboratories, wherever, blasted a small projectile at the speed of 10 miles a second and then went on to write 10 miles a second. And then he wrote, I want one.
And, for the squirrels?
And then he sent me the same email again.
Oh, okay.
So that's my John Popper munitions update.
It's so funny because you think like, you know, oh, John Popper, he's, you know, like amazing musician, super laid back, fun song, soulful guy. In my wildest dreams, I wouldn't have thought this was part of his personality.
Well, this is going to be the problem with, you know, the gun buyback or the assault weapon or the AR-15 reclamation or whatever it is. Guys don't like guns. They love guns. The guys who love guns.
Right.
I mean, the guys, I'm not a gun guy, but gun guys, they're not, they don't have the relationship with it that, like, there's a lot of people that drive cars, but they're not car people.
Right.
And if you said, oh, I could offer you public transportation, get you where they go, oh, good. I don't even want to, you know, they moved to New York and they leave their car back in LA or whatever. But gun guys love themselves some guns.
Wow.
And this is what we're facing in America. I do not think we're going to get those guys to give their guns back.
I don't
think so. Part of the problem is, in getting their guns back, they have guns. You got to do the math on that.
Does any? I don't follow the gun debate that closely. Does any reasonable person want to take guns away? I think they're trying to make it harder for crazy people to get guns.
They have thoughts about,
I know that's the scare tactic, like Obama wants to take your guns
away. They have like the AR-15 buyback or something. There are things that have been done. There was an assault weapons ban, and that wasn't really effective.
Really,
so they got rid of it because the rallies, all the crime is handguns,
right?
So I mean, we're in a weird place, which is Black Lives Matter. But we're focusing on cops, white cops killing unarmed black men, which is minuscule, and then black men killing black men, which doesn't fit the narrative. But if you really want to stop black men from getting shot, then you're going to have to start focusing on black men shooting black men in, you know, the inner city. The gun thing is we're all whipped up on assault weapons. Assault or so-called assault weapons, they don't really account for any killings. It's vastly handguns, and then I don't think like AR-15s are less than knives, feet, and fists, like in the lives taken. So you can ban them or you can take them back, but you're still going to have the same amount of handgun deaths, like ostensibly. So then you got to get into handguns or gun facets. You're going to have the same amount of gun fatalities. Most stuff isn't done with rifles. It doesn't make sense. You can't walk around holding a rifle without people noticing. So now you got to get into handguns, and good luck with handguns. Yeah.
Is John Popper friends with the Motor City Madman?
He should be.
Yeah, can you get them together?
He never brought him up, although he did say hi to Gary Lurris from the Jayhawks.
No. We're not trying to go that direction.
100%. Bullshit.
That's who I want to be friends with.
Yeah. So there's that update. Yeah. I don't know what we're going to do about guns. They've tried in some places, like I think Australia had a mandatory rifle buyback, which bumps people because it's mandatory.
But it worked, right?
It is Australia.
People are like, okay.
I guess. I don't know. I don't know how it worked or if they're still doing it or how it worked. But we're going to have trouble this town.
I know Australia is really big, so that's a terrible example. But I can't help but always think about, like, everybody, you know, shits on this country and we have so many problems. Well, when you think about, say, Europe, every one of those countries is the size of a state. If we were just doing something with a state in the union, we would be successful at it too. You know what I mean? If we just had that many people.
Well,
and I'm sure we get tweeted, but it makes sense, right?
Yeah. The problem that they always do is they go, well, Chicago has some of the strictest gun laws in the nation. They go, yeah. And the people bring the stuff in from, you know, Michigan and Wisconsin who don't have, you know, so then there's that.
So
how do you prevent that? All right, we got Dawson's stand up. We got an article out of Chicago, nothing to do with guns. We have, what did I write down here? All right, Keygate.
Oh, no.
Oh, did we wrap up Urinalgate?
Are we just letting that go like it never happened?
Well, that's getting filed under, you know, where's Jimmy Hoffa?
Right.
The toilet paper got thrown away. You're welcome.
Oh, is that you?
It was me.
Did you have gloves?
No, I was confused because Kalen, I thought he said he got rid of it. But
he did say he cleaned it.
It was clearly in there, and I poked my head out to Gary, who was sitting, you know, 10 feet away. I'm like, is this the same? He's like, yeah, it's the same. I'm like, all right, well, something's got to be done.
Oh, good.
So oh, here comes Kalen.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no, he doesn't. Here come.
Kalen is not going to defend himself. Well, Emmy's here.
Uh-oh.
So I, as you know, or maybe I've talked about on this show, I'm a deliberate person. I do things deliberately. Mm-hmm. If I have a mug, a cup, a travel cup, or anything, and I need to bring it home, I put it by the door, mm-hmm. and I'll put it on the floor. And then people kind of surround me and undo my stuff. Like, I pick it up, I put it in the cupboard in the back, you know, and it's like, I don't know it's there. Yeah. You didn't say it was there. So I do a lot of stuff. I told you, was I talking about the garage clicker and the garage door? So I just gotten a minor dust up with an old guy who understands I'm a deliberate person. She's a deliberate person. So as I told you, one day after she left for the night, there's a big Tupperware thing of chili sitting out on the countertop with the lid off. And I just sort of looked at it, and I was like, that is not an Olga move. Oof. Olga screws a pooch once in a while, but she's not going to leave with the lid off.
No, Phil's going to destroy that.
What's she doing? She just went home for the night. It's a big bucket of chili with the Tupperware cap sitting next to it. Mm. I looked at it for a little while, and I went, all right. I put the lid on. I put it in the refrigerator. And then I said to Olga the next day, yeah, you left the chili out with the lid off. What was that about? Because it's not like her.
Right.
And she said, well, it was hot. Oh. And it'll go in the fridge. It'll sweat.
That's true.
You got to let it cool off.
It's true.
And I went, that's why you did that. But didn't fit my pattern.
Right.
But I didn't have any explanation for it. So I do things that are deliberate all the time. Put stuff where, and I got in an Olga a little bit the other day because I got the garage clicker for my house that's in the Z car, and it's not in the car I'm driving.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to pull out the other day during the daylight hours, going to be gone for an hour, and I left the garage door open. Of course, when I pulled back in, Olga had closed it, which meant I had to get out of the car, and I'm having key-related issues we'll get into in a moment. But I was like, had to go back, go in the house, walk around, hit the button on the wall, then come back and get in the car. And I said, Olga, when I leave the garage door open, I'm leaving the garage door open. I'm not backing out and forgetting to close the garage door. I like that you're walking around doing this stuff, but understand I'm super deliberate.
Right.
I didn't space out on it. So I'm probably most deliberate with my keys. My keys, I always put on the table out there.
Same.
I always put them somewhere. I oftentimes leave them in my car. I never want to look for my keys. The other day, actually was here yesterday. I had a steak and some egg salad that the old guy made. Had to put it in the fridge. Put the keys in the fridge. Didn't want to leave it in there. But I'm very calculated with all my stuff. So I had the Z car parked here, and I was out driving the Lincoln SUV, but it had my whole key ring on it.
Mm.
So Malibu, I just need one key in and out. The key ring is more for the shops here and the home and that kind of stuff. It's got the key fob for the Z on it as well. So at some point when I'd been in Malibu for a few days or something, it was time to come back. I was like, where's my key ring? Where is that? So I did what I do. I went to the Z car and looked in the cup holder because that's where I would leave it. Was not there.
On the tire?
Not on the tire.
Under the tire?
Then I went inside and went to that front table. It's like, I would throw it down here. Looked around the front table. Not there.
Mm.
Then I said, well, maybe I took it with me in the Lincoln. Not my move. I don't like to separate the key from the car. See, I had the Z keys, and I'm leaving the Z here. I don't want to take the Z key with me, but who knows? Maybe I just threw it in the armrest or whatever, the trap on the Lincoln. Then I went out and searched the Lincoln. All right, so it's not in the Lincoln. It's not in the Z car. It's not on the table here. It's not in the bowl that's out front mm-hmm. when you enter. Now, where the hell are those keys? So then I got to La Cunada, and I searched through all the drawers. Remember, I threw it in the drawer by the front entry, key drawer. Whatever. Yeah. Key drawer. Searched through all that. Then you start getting into cargo shorts and sweatpants. You know, maybe I threw it because I didn't really need the keys, but okay. Search all that.
Did you then check Phil's lower intestine?
I must have brought it back to Malibu somehow. So then I checked my big wooden bowl where all the keys are in Malibu. Now, no keys. No
this
key
is all
ring.
The Southland.
No fob for the mm-hmm. Z. No keys. So then I realized, all right, maybe there are other forces at work. Perhaps nefarious. So I make the announcement to Fondelier, ask all those guys if they've put my keys anywhere or did anything with a set of keys. Matt checks with the crew. Is that correct, Emmy?
Yes, sir.
And then comes back with a resounding no.
Yeah, I got seasonal allergies. What of it?
No keys. Nobody's seen any keys.
This is odd.
Now what? I'm pretty religious with my keys. I wouldn't take them somewhere, leave them at a restaurant. No. The car is here. Why aren't the keys for the car here? Which, by the way, has the rest of my keys on the ring for everything else.
Did you have your backpack?
So I'm going through every scenario in my head. Of course, blaming myself, internalizing. Yeah. I think, aha, somebody, Rhino, says, you know, sometimes when you're getting out of one car and getting into another car, all your stuff gets pulled out of the car, gets put on the table there. Mm. I threw it all in that box. Got a cardboard box. Threw it all in the box, and you just took it with you to Malibu. I said, oh, well, now it's, yeah. That right. I threw it on the table. And then at some point I told Ryan, clean off the table or something. And then he threw everything into a box. And then I remember taking that box out and throwing it and Malibu seemed like I did it before the keys were lost, but anyway, they're in the box. They're in the garage. Okay. They're in Malibu. I then go to Malibu, and of course, comically, there's a bunch of other boxes piled on top of that box. I've been moving a bunch of stuff, and so it's buried at the bottom of a bunch of boxes. So now I remove all the boxes, get to the box with the goods in it, tear the box apart, no keys. So now I'm done with keys. I'm going to have to go get a new key fob for the Z. Yeah. I'm going to have to get keys made for the house.
I've been there.
Keys made for the shop.
Expensive
keys made
key
for
fob.
The studio. I got a lot of keys. I don't have any of them. I don't know where they are. I'm done looking because I've looked everywhere I could possibly look.
Your new name.
Now, I got to tell you, things look pretty slow right here, but I think it's going to pick up.
Oh, yes.
Keyless
because
Chuck.
Tomorrow, or yesterday, I should say, I found the keys. I will tease that for a second. I won't tell you how I found them or where they were. I will tell you first about Tommy John, scrotal distancing. That's right. That's what's going on these days. Cool. Struggle to separate the guys from your thighs, man. It's time for Tommy John's hammock pouch underwear. When you're wearing Tommy John's hammock pouch underwear, you're so much more comfortable. You do everything better. Tommy John doesn't have customers. They have fanatics. Over 13 million pairs sold. Dozens of comfort innovations like an air mesh interior hammock and moisture wicking fabric with 4 times the stretch of competing brands. Once you've tried Tommy John, you're never going back to your last pair. I'm wearing mine right now. Look at that.
Oh, a nice little pattern, little bucks or deer
bucks
or something.
Bucks and deers, baby. So it's the best pair you'll ever wear. It's free. Guarantee. Right, Dawson?
And right now you get 20% off your first order at TommyJohn.com/Adam. That's 20% off your first order of underwear and loungewear at TommyJohn.com/Adam. TommyJohn.com/Adam. See site for details.
All right. We will
we'll
take
be back.
Ourselves a quick break and we'll come back and tell you where the key ring was right after this.
Cool.
Corolla Drinks fans, 818 Rye Whiskey is available now at CorollaDrinks.com. 818 is a whiskey from Adam's backyard, not the gated communities in the same area code. It's aged 3 years in new American oak and couples a malty sweetness with a complex rye finish. Adam and the team made this whiskey for fans of the show. They made this whiskey for the regulars. Get your bottle of 818 Rye at CorollaDrinks.com. Hurry, we will sell out. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Adam, you hit the punching bag with those two big mitts. Brian, your drops send me into big fits. Gina, you have a lovely voice. Thank you.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
So, I've searched everywhere for the keys.
High and low.
I've made the proclamation around here. They're not in the box in the garage, and I've now decided to quietly move on with my life without keys.
I don't know how we're going to top this.
Vexed, of course, haunted, walking around, nursing this thing in my head all the time. Like, what the fuck is this ball of keys?
Yeah.
Then yesterday, the keys appear.
Oh, magically?
In the hands of Emmy.
Hey there.
Where'd you find those keys, boy? You deserve a reward.
No, I definitely don't. I found them on the cork pin board in the office where I had left them myself.
Hmm? Like hanging?
Like a valet? Yes,
exactly. Huh?
Where did you originally find the keys?
I originally found them in your car in the cup holder.
Oh, my God.
That's a strange move. I mean, there must
Emmy,
be an explanation.
Explain yourself.
So what happened that day was I happened to be here till late, and the gate happened to be broken that day. So after I pulled in Ryan's bike so nobody would come in here, I decided to check the Z car to make sure it was locked. Well, it wasn't. So then I came first back in here because I figured you probably left them on the table, the front table. They weren't there. Then I found them inside of the cup holder. So I locked your car. I brought the keys in. I put them in the on the cork board.
And you walked them in
your
office
took a picture
and hung them.
I even took a picture of them to remind myself. Completely forgot.
See, now, I'm good, but I cannot defeat this.
Yeah.
Now,
this is your greatest enemy.
Once the announcement was made that Adam is missing his keys, that didn't jog a memory from 4.5 days?
Well, what I did when I did get that initial email was I did look around the actual office, and I found a little bin with keys in it, and then you ended up saying, well, none of these are the keys that I'm looking for, so I just forgot about that conversation, too.
Credit to Emmy. This is a little adjacent to, you know, I took your car out to get it detailed and wrecked it or whatever. Like, Emmy was trying to lock the car. The forgetting about, the completely forgetting about the keys.
That's what was my
egregious
response when you gave me the keys.
You really fucked me. And I am so sorry.
Did I yell?
You got pretty red, but you didn't yell at me.
Well, again, it's mitigated by the fact that you were trying to do something that was positive. The point that everyone needs to know is you need to know thyself. Mm-hmm. None of you, including Drew and me, are good enough to go, I'll take these and I'll just put them in the little skinny drawer of my desk. Mm-hmm. And somehow in 4 days, they shall reappear. Mm-hmm. Or I will summon this. No, they do not. You cannot. I don't know why it made it into your office. It should have never made it into your office.
That's a strange move.
That was the problem.
I agree.
But it's all based on some version of us thinking we're better than we are. Like, I'll just hang them up here. And then when Adam shows up tomorrow, I'll tell him I hung them up on it.
How could I forget? They're right here.
Well, thinking back on it, the cork board is right next to the door. So I figured at some point I'd pass them by, see them, take them off when the gate was fixed and give them back to you. Mm-hmm. And I forgot.
Question.
The key announcement, the office-wide key announcement did not unlock any of this knowledge that you so dearly guard?
No.
Wow.
It's funny that you call it that, because in our family, my dad originated it, and I do it to this day. If it's keys, if it's whatever, if I'm putting something somewhere I don't generally put it, he would bellow to the room, big announcement, big announcement, everybody. This pen is going right here. Big announcement. So we kind of do that in our house. But I'm wondering if... Because Emmy was just trying to be nice, and he's the best. But
I'm not being nice.
If he would have left the keys in the cup holder, would you have been fine with that? Because the gate's locked, and who the hell would mess with the car?
Well, the gate wasn't locked.
Oh, that's why
it
was broken.
That's why it was broken. Still,
well, you put your you leave your key on the tire when you go to the airport.
I do. I have this thing. Of if I'm going to go to Minneapolis, catch a flight from Minneapolis to Wisconsin, and then get up at 5 in the morning and catch a flight from Wisconsin to Detroit and then back to LAX, mm-hmm. I don't like that part where I'm looking through my backpack at a certain point going like, did I?
A lot of opportunities
there's a lot of places those keys could come out. I'm bringing the backpack to the club. My whole thing is... keep the keys with the car. Keep the stuff together as best you can.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's usually how I roll.
I think the worst part about this whole thing is how I found the keys yesterday.
Mm.
I was taking a picture of...
You were hiding Matt's keys and you stumbled across my...
No, I was taking Matt a picture of something on
his desk and you snuck in.
I was taking a picture of something on the corkboard and I look at the picture and on the corner are a set of keys, and that's when I realized they're your keys.
Mm. Okay. Never be a fighter pilot.
I won't be.
And again, as long as it was in the service of a good initial thought, I cannot beef too hard. But
thank you, but I truly apologize.
If I had not made my proclamation of where are my goddamn keys to everyone in the office, that's a bad piece of oppositional research. But all right, Emmy, you're lucky I like it.
Thank you. And sorry again.
That's all right. The problem is when people do this to you and your keys or your wallet or whatever they do to you, you're so thankful just to have your fucking keys
no
back
questions
at a certain
asked.
Point. Yeah, I'm like Lady Gaga with her dog.
Yeah.
All right. So also, I got this. In the Emmy department, but on me again, somebody... dropped off two magnums of red wine, two magnums of Pinot Noir.
All right.
The Emmy, because he's dutiful, said, shall I put these magnums of red wine, and would you like to take these with you? And I said, why, thank you. Oh, sorry, that was Kalen. Fuck Emmy. Kalen put it in my car, my brand new car. With the black label interior.
Yeah.
And would just set it on the back seat. I then left them in the car, and that's why this is on me. Drove to Malibu or whatever. When I it was very hot yesterday, maybe you know where this is going.
Yeah.
When I don't know how it all worked out, but when I went to get my bags out of my car last night in Malibu, one magnum of red wine was, I will not say completely empty, but here's how empty the magnum was inside the car.
Did it burst the cork or is
blew the cork out.
That's hot.
And here's how empty this magnum was, which is two regular 750 bottles of wine. Because of me, I bust it back up to the condo. Less than half a glass of red wine left for the Ace Man in that magnum.
Oh, you drank the cooked wine?
Why not?
Oh, have you met? Don't,
it was a gift.
Are you new, Brian? Of course he drank it.
Oh. Another one's Gina's wedding gift. I got to get the cork pushed down flush again. It's out a little bit.
Congratulations, you kids.
I had an entire two bottles of red wine entirely capsized in my car. And then...
That's in the car that's out here, right?
That's why the door was open.
Which answers the question, why is Adam's door open?
Yeah. Right. There you go. Right. But Fondelier, who studies my pattern, said to me earlier, you probably did this intentionally, but you should still know your door's open. And I said, yes, I did do it intentionally. I'm trying to air it out. It smells like Ernest and Julio Gallo's hall closet in there. Deep cut.
Yeah. Oh, so, please drive carefully. You do not want to be pulled over.
Oh,
like
my God.
This.
Smells like goddamn stiller in here.
Now I can just drink while I'm driving because I'll just throw the cup in the back.
That's right.
Officer.
Spill.
So it exploded and the entire contents came out in the car.
Brutal.
Beautiful, brand new leather, everything. Then in a weird booze related connection. So last night, that's how I left the car. I'm like, oh, fuck, it's all covered with booze. I don't know. I'm just going to leave it and clean it out tomorrow. I then was walking out to the car this morning in Malibu, getting ready to leave when I heard a big kind of clank and a crunch. And then I sort of looked, and in front of the car was a six-pack of White Claw seltzer that had fallen off a car that had sped by, exploded. Some of the cans were shooting seltzer out of the side, and one was tucked underneath the front valance car. I had to get down on the ground and, like, lay down and pull it out. This is weird
booze-related
car things. Like, it's like somebody – I didn't even see the car. I just heard it. Like, somebody sped by and an unopened six-pack of White Claw just fell out of their car, landed right in front of my car, sent cans everywhere and under my car, and I had to fish them out because I was going to run over them.
Good thing you're not in recovery.
Out. Yeah, I know.
It's a tough day.
Was there one can we're salvaging?
I salvaged...
he shotgunned it because it was already spraying.
I salvaged four.
All right.
Out of the six. Two of them had like pinholes.
Brutal.
All right. Also, in other news,
like booze.
Drew was in here talking to me all about his Peter Luger situation.
The steak place?
Yeah. So there was a shooting at Peter Luger's steakhouse.
Really? In Brooklyn?
Yeah. I don't know. We could probably find the story somewhere there, Max Panna. But I talked to him earlier in the day, and he's like, oh, we're going to Peter Luger's. We're so excited about going to Peter Luger's. And then when I talked to him the next day, there was a shooting Drew was at Peter Luger's with his daughter, his daughter's boyfriend, and his wife, and they had fired, I think, two shots. They hit two customers that were sort of sitting outside.
Did this happen? I've not heard about this.
It's weird. I don't know if it seems like with news, it's like there's only like some news anyone news cares about anymore.
The New York Post
have a good strong theme one way or the other. I mean, it was young black guy who was like career criminal, got into it with another guy and just started shooting.
This is a Thursday week ago.
See the New York Post headline. I knew we could count on them. What sparked bloody beef outside Peter Luger's?
Oh, there you go.
Don't do that.
Yeah. So, to hear Drew tell it, they were going to sit outside where the people in the seats at the table where the people were shot, but he wanted to go indoors because everyone's so tired of eating outdoors.
Right on the sidewalk.
What used to be a treat, now people have PTSD from, and they want to go indoors now. So, the cops rolled up on it like immediately. I think the cops were there because there was some sort of Black Lives Matter like event there, and the cops were just showed up for that. So the cops were there within 2 minutes, and I don't think anyone died, but he said two people got shot.
Yeah, two were wounded.
Yeah, I can give you the gist of what happened if you want. This kid, Arkies Somerville, 24 years old, allegedly opened fire, two innocent bystanders dining outside. So it says the New York Post, the mayhem unfolded while Somerville had five open warrants in North Carolina, where cops warned on Facebook in February that he should be considered armed and dangerous. He was among 11 people celebrating a birthday at Luger's when he became when he began arguing with two women or with some women who weren't at the party. He got so nasty, a male cousin and two other men hauled him inside. But instead of cooling off, Somerville kept arguing and the other men finally gave up and headed back, you know, away from him. That's when Somerville allegedly whipped out a silver 38 caliber revolver, fired three rounds at them around 9:45. None of Somerville's intended targets were hit, but two men who were dining outside were struck.
Yeah. So unfortunately, the, you know, AR-15 buyback is not going to work for Somerville in his pistol.
Talk about a Final Destination situation. There was a 30-year-old tourist who was shot near his spine. And a 57-year-old man from Queens who was shot in the gut.
I don't know how these guys with their five priors or their warrants and everything somehow are going to parties in New York, but we got
high profile.
I said to Drew, I'll say it to you, the you know, the story where the wife is poisoning the husband and collecting the insurance, I don't like it, but that's all under one roof. The parts where you're just sort of shooting randomly,
you're a menace
outside. Those are the scariest people to me.
Yeah. I'm just sort of going through this. It says he seemed to be very, very drunk. And there was a protest or something a few blocks away, so the cops were there like right away.
Yes, that's what Drew said. There was a protest, and so the cops were Johnny on the spot. All right, so let's see. I got an article here. Did we find some German food to eat? We're devastated.
Well, it's Wisconsin. Of course you're going to find German food.
Mike found a place
on the same block as the hotel, has goulash and everything else.
Right.
Doesn't open until 4 on Saturday with the early show. It's just, we got to do a lunch. We got to do a lunch thing. So we're going to have to keep you posted on that. Max Batta, did you find something from yesterday?
The caller from yesterday, Kate, she recommended a place. I'm checking to see how far it is.
Lots of protein.
Please.
Her backyard for veal sausage?
Yeah, that'd be nice. All right.
I think this is the same place she just recommended.
Oh, no.
Heartbreaker.
God.
Oh, because when I was lamenting to Chris, I was like, the place we got all pumped up about had Czechoslovakian goulash. I'm in.
Damn.
Not open. We need a place to open earlier. And then Chris went, oh, well, that's all right, because the ball puller recommended a place that's just as close. So close. It's the same goddamn place.
Yeah, what's weird is that Monday through Friday, they're open 11 a.m. Saturday, they open at 4.
Oh. What gives?
What gives?
Can't you have someone run it over in between shows, or that'll never work?
I don't know if you guys are wired like me. When I go out to eat, I just want to enjoy.
Yeah.
I want to know.
Scarf it down.
I also want to know there's a nap at the end of it.
Oh, yeah. Now you're talking about
language. Because you got to perform two shows, right? So then you get like the full belly.
Yeah.
Then it becomes like,
back on
you know,
stage.
They do that move. They go, you want another beer? And you're like, I want one. But if I can get it at 2.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Then I'll catch the nap, man.
So just a quick update. We have made contact with your beloved goulash place, and though they normally open at 4, they would say they'd open at 3:30 for the Ace Man.
Tell them that's a C-list star treatment. We're looking for a little B-plus star treatment.
And I'm sorry, but you know how they say, like, well, you're an LA 4, but you're a, you know, Wisconsin 10. Mm-hmm. Look, for Appleton,
come on,
they're not going to do any better.
Yeah, Clooney's not coming in Sunday.
I have family there, trust me.
We may also have another option. It doesn't look like they've got the goulash, but they do have some schnitzel and stuff, and it's open more lunchtime-y kind of hours. It's more of like a pub brewery kind of place, but...
Yeah. We'll work on it. But your clock's ticking, because this is all we do.
That's why he's going to Apple.
It's all super early flights. Yeah. It's all connecting flights. It's all shows and green rooms and everything. And then there's the German food.
Speaking of which, not too late to change to a red eye tonight. Get there at like 8 in the morning, catch a little nap, and then get some lunch.
Thank you for your input, Brian. All right.
Just so we don't go through this. We don't want to go through this again for Kansas City. Is my mother bringing you barbecue or isn't she? Or do you just want me to tell you which Joe's stack to go, Jack's stack to go to?
Yeah, where to go in Kansas City. Yeah, that's going to be at the Arvest Bank Theater, September 11th.
Used to be the Midland.
What is the chain of barbecue in KC that when Drew and I saw you back there all those years ago, or you saw us,
was it
people kept talking about it. It was definitely a chain.
Was it Jack Stack, Oklahoma Joe's, or Zardo?
Oh, I think it was Oklahoma.
Yeah, they're very good. I mean, it's good.
Wait a minute. Oklahoma Joe's is the Z-Boys sandwich?
Yes.
Oh, it wasn't Oklahoma Joe's, because that's awesome.
I bet you it was Jack Stack.
Have you guys had a Z-Boy?
I have.
God damn.
Z-Man.
Z-Man.
It is.
Z-Boy.
The
sliders of the Z-Boy.
My dad and I flew back for my mom's birthday one year, and we all went to Oklahoma Joe's, and yeah. And then we went for cider donuts and wine tastings. Yeah, look at that thing.
Oh.
Two giant onion rings.
Is that brisket?
Let me say this, Permantes. You fucking hang your head and you bow in front of that Z-Man, because that is an awesome that is an awesome sandwich. All right, Dawson, you have that article out of Chicago. This is another thing that's on my mind because it drives Drew completely and utterly insane. But it's also something we need to kind of worry about as we move forward with our society, which is Drew says your doctor needs to be able to use their experience and then improvise. They need to go, here's what I think you need, or and we're getting so we're getting into corporate medicine now.
Flow
and these
charts.
Mandates are just going down. Okay. And this shit is happening now. So this is an article out of Chicago, I think.
From the Chicago Tribune. DuPage County judge orders Elmhurst Hospital to allow COVID-19 patient to receive controversial medication. A DuPage County judge on Monday ordered that Elmhurst Hospital to allow a comatose woman suffering from COVID-19 to receive a medication the Food and Drug Administration says could be unsafe, but the legal fight appears bound to escalate. Nergy Fipe, 68, of Elmhurst, has been in intensive care at the hospital since early April and is now on a ventilator, according to testimony at the court hearing. Her daughter, Deseretta Fipe, is pushing for her mother to receive a medication called Ivermectin.
Right, which Drew's on, or had been on, and he's prescribed millions of times because it's pretty ubiquitous.
Normally used to treat diseases caused by parasitic worms. Deseretta Fipe said in an affidavit she learned about the drug in a news article while researching treatment options for her mother. The story, published in the Buffalo News, told of an 80-year-old woman in dire shape from COVID-19 who recovered after her family sued to get her ivermectin. The FDA, however, has cautioned against using ivermectin to treat patients suffering from the virus. It says some people have been hospitalized after self-medicating with a form of the drug intended for horses, and that large doses can be fatal.
Yeah, well, large doses of Tylenol can be fatal. These are self-administering from a horse because they can't get ivermectin.
And by the way, wasn't ketamine originally a horse tranquilizer? And
yes,
now we use
was.
That for what? Seizures and antidepressants and everything else?
So ivermectin has been around for 40 years and is on the list of essential drugs, whatever that CDC essential drug. It's up there with hydroxychloroquine. Mm-hmm. The point is you could argue it's not effective, and you could argue we don't have research to suggest it, but it's certainly not going to hurt anyone. And if someone is dying, let the fucking doctor try to save the person. Although you should take it early. I think in this article, the poor daughter wanted to get it to the mom early, and they said, no. Not going to do it. Sorry. Keep going.
Another federal agency, the National Institute of Health, has taken a more measured stance, saying that while the drug is well tolerated when used for its intended purposes, there isn't enough information to allow a recommendation for or against using it to treat COVID-19.
But if it's well tolerated, it's well tolerated.
Well, because it's, again, all you have to do is sort of, you don't need to be a doctor. If the stuff's ubiquitous, been around for 40 years, and it's been handed out all over the world times billions of doses, and there's people who have, You know, it's like if somebody had lupus, then they would just be on hydroxychloroquine perpetually. So how dangerous could it be? But listen, if someone is dying, Brian got an experimental medication.
Never should have happened.
Well, what if they fought every ounce? We don't have any studies. It's, you know.
Even more applicable is it wasn't experimental. It was off-label, right? It was meant for this thing, and they used it for my thing, and that's how medicine
works.
That's
exactly what this is. It's for something else, but maybe it's effective. So sorry, go ahead.
Elmhurst Hospital's attorney, Joseph Monahan, said that at the hearing, none of its doctors would agree to administer ivermectin for COVID-19.
So this is the scary part. None of the doctors would agree to do this for this dying
because
lady.
Who's going to sue them? What are they afraid of?
FDA
is going to?
I don't know what's going on recently, but there's this thing going on, which is, we bring up something like ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine, more famously. Everyone pushes back against it. It then people just reflectively go, I'm not going to do it. And then we start parroting. Well, there's no – but it comes to like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, and it's like we've talked about before with passing, like a network passing. Like, somebody passed. Right? I don't want to be the one that says yes.
Right. So, sorry, Dawson.
He argued, and an internal ethics panel concluded its use couldn't be justified. He argued that judges shouldn't overrule medical decisions. The court doesn't have the authority to order a medical corporation to use particular medications, particularly when it's an off-label use, particularly when the federal government has said it could be dangerous, he said. He suggested.
But why is the federal government saying it could be dangerous? That's the part.
What did Drew say?
Well, these everything got politicized and everything like took on a life of its own. So hydroxychloroquine was called dangerous because Trump said something good about it. Ivermectin just got lumped in with, but it's also, think about all of the therapeutics that were pitched and immediately dismissed. Like, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but it's weird that a lot of doctors were going, hey, you could use this in conjunction with that. And everyone's going, no, it's not. Pull them off the internet. Mm-hmm. We're not going to put that information out there. Like, why not have a agnostic sort of posture about it? Like, all right, well, if it worked for you, mm-hmm. or maybe it helped some people.
The
or
World
something.
Health Organization
we
was
got,
not interested
we
in
got
that.
Really fucking yeah. focused yeah. on, no, it's bad.
So the hospital's lawyer suggested that the woman could transfer her mother to another facility where doctors would be willing to use the medication. But Judge James Orrell seemed astonished at the suggestion. Quote, let me get this right. The hospital is willing to transfer a woman in a coma with COVID? He said. Is that what you're telling me? Orrell pointed to an affidavit from Fife's physician, Dr. William Crevier of Orland Park, in which the doctor said he has used the drug successfully for COVID-19 patients since last year. If Elmhurst Hospital's doctors don't want to use ivermectin, Orrell said, they should allow Crevier to administer it. Why wouldn't this be tried if she's not improving, Orrell said. Why does the hospital object to providing this medication? If someone has been in the ICU for a month and not improving, why would the hospital not consider another medication? It was still not clear, however, whether the hospital would allow Fipe to receive the medication. Orrell said he expected the case to head to an appellate court.
Yeah, I'm sure she'll be around forever waiting for them to rule on this. Anyway, Drew was just basically saying there used to be a relationship. The doctor could be kind of fluid. He could use or her, not to use a chick doctor, but they could use their experience, their expertise and whatever, and they could work out. You know, therapeutics and stuff like that was that was up to them. It's not going down that road anymore.
I mean, I'm not being, you know, either naive or even sarcastic, but like they took an oath, like first do no harm. Like, can you just give them the benefit of the doubt that they're not trying to kill their patients?
Yeah, and let her take her to some other hospital.
Yeah. That's
but also imagine physically removing someone who's in a coma and like hooked up to all the stuff.
It's not
you're
great.
No,
it can't be. No, it's probably very delicate at best.
I mean, obviously, that could kill her.
Yes,
that state. Why not just let her doctor administer this inert drug? I mean, it's not going to work now because you needed to take it earlier on. Right. But all right, this is where we're getting to.
A little weird.
Let's see. Ivermectin discovered in 1975, came into medical use in 1981. All right. And the World Health Organization put it on a list of essential medications. So it's essential to people who don't have COVID, but if people want to try it, we got a problem. All right. We have Jack Carr, Navy SEAL, ready to go. Is he zooming in? Let me hit Humble, CBD. Need rest and relaxation after a long day at the office? Sick of soreness and inflammation? Let's talk Humble CBD. Wide variety of hemp-derived CBD products. Twist, roll, and relax with their CBD calming balm. Or travel with their CBD twist, a tincture on the go. Smaller than a pack of gum designed for your pocket. Humble CBD is focused on helping you stay grounded no matter what life brings you. Remember, a tree's beauty lies in its branches, but its strength lies in its roots. Focus, relax, recover with Humble CBD. Right, Dawson?
Now offering 25% off your first order with promo code Adam. All you have to do is go to HumbleCBD.com and choose any product that meets your needs. Stay grounded with Humble CBD.
All right, Jack Carr, Navy SEAL, New York Times bestseller, and author is going to join us right after this.